Podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at wrestlingwithjonas.com. Hello and welcome to the latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas and Monday evening episode 359, and we've got a tremendous guest. And if you are a fan of the E4 reality series, The Underdog, Josh Must Win, then I've got the best guest possible for a Monday evening. None other than the star and the winner of The Underdog, but also former two-time United Wrestling heavyweight champion and a professional wrestler, a good friend of mine, Josh Folds. Josh, great to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much. I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, I can't complain at the moment, really. But yeah, thank you so much. I've been really looking forward to coming on to your show. It's been a while. It's been in the works for a while. Just happy I get to sit down with you.
Well, people won't believe that we have been talking about getting you on the show for a little while. And it's quite fortuitous, and I like to use that word, that we got you on today because, like I say, you just under 2 weeks ago, you had the finale of The Underdog, Josh Must Win. But let me ask you straight off the bat, has it sunk in yet with everything that's happened? Have you had a chance to kind of sit back, reflect, and get your head around the madness of what's happened over the last month or so?
I think it's finally kind of almost set in my mind now. Like when it came out on TV, it was still like an out-of-body experience. It was really weird because I remember certain things, but then certain things I forgot, whether it was good or bad, and then it pops up on your screen. But I think just when it was airing, it's just big whirlwind of everything and all the emotions, all the messages, all the new followers and all the rest of it. So I think after the final, a few days after the fact, I really sat back and just sat in an empty room by myself and contemplated all my thoughts, and that's when it really, really hit home. So yeah, I think at the moment it's come full circle. I'm missing being on TV now.
But a whirlwind. I couldn't have explained it any better myself. But we are going to be taking a deep dive into the reality series. We're also going to be talking about Josh's professional wrestling career because he did demonstrate some of that on the show. And we will talk about that and all the challenges. But we do want to talk about, because we spoke a bit off air, Josh, and next month, May, will mark 5 years in the business, or 5 years since you kind of started wrestling. And we will talk about all of that and United Wrestling being a two times champion and all that good stuff. But we are live, of course. And if you are watching us at home, get in touch with the show. We're live across Facebook, Twitch, X and YouTube, of course. So don't forget to give us a follow, subscribe and hit that like button. But more importantly, sending your questions, sending your comments for Josh Folds. We'll do our very, very best to answer them all during the course of this interview. We've got a few that's come through already and a few that were sent through before we went live. So an eagerly anticipated guest. But just a quick reminder of some of my recent guests. And April has been a very, very busy month, and it hasn't finished yet. It started with Flash Morgan Webster coming onto the show at the beginning of April. A fantastic guest, a good hour and a half conversation with one of the finest professional wrestlers in the whole of the UK. Go and check that one out. Last week, my most recent live interview was with the guys from Sovereign Pro Wrestling up in Manchester ahead of their next show, May the 6th, up in Manchester, False Idol. Go and check that one out with Shotty and Lou from Sov Pro. But I've got three interviews this week, Josh being the first, and in 2 days' time, on Wednesday the 24th, I've got none other than Joe Blazer joining me live in the hot seat, Wednesday the 24th, 8 p.m. UK time. And then to wrap up the month of April and to wrap up this week, a busy month, let alone month, but Danny Black, the Kid Without Fear, will be joining me on Friday, 8 o'clock, as usual. Today, it's all about this guy here. But Josh, let me ask you, are you being recognised in the streets? Are you, now that you kind of hit kind of not necessarily A-level, A-class fame, but are you being recognised when you're going into McDonald's or wandering down the street or just about to get on a bus? How's fame treating you at the moment?
Yeah, I have to say that every time I'm stepping out the door, there's someone who like raises an eyebrow or just comes over to talk to me. But I love it when people come up and talk to me about the show, just because I think if you make a stranger happy when they see you, it's one of the greatest things that you can do. But yeah, it's like when, because obviously I'm a big beer drinker, so when I go to the pub, I I'm with a few friends and have people come over and ask for pictures, but I can't say that anyone's been too forward and like breaking your like personal boundaries. They kind of just come up, say hello, take a picture, and then they get on their way. But I have had a few people who I've sat down with for about an hour and just spoke. It happened this past weekend actually. Someone came over and recognized me and told me how much they loved the show, and I spoke to her for about 2 hours, and it was a lovely conversation.
There we go. But so we've probably got people watching this that have never watched an episode of Wrestling with Jonas before. So thank you for tuning in. But so usually I do wrestling interviews, and we will get onto the wrestling aspect. But here's a couple of pictures of Josh in the wrestling ring doing what he does best. There he is with the United Wrestling Championship belts. But more recently, it's been all about this, and it's been all about the underdog. Josh was win the reality series on E4, and it was ever so popular. Tens of thousands of people, probably hundreds of thousands of people, tuned into every single episode. Got some great reviews there from Chris Evans, Virgin Radio, The Sun, Radio Times, Heat Magazine. Has it surprised you at all how popular the show was when it was happening, and how people kind of think so fondly of it now that it's finished?
Yeah, it did. I think when anything like this, you build it up in your head and you hope for the best possible reaction. And I can honestly say that we did get the best possible reaction, because after every episode, I was going on X and I was looking at like the live reactions and the hashtag Josh Must Win, and it's just been all so lovely and everyone's been so positive. People messaging you on Instagram or X or however they can reach you about just how much either they've connected with the show and how much they see themselves in me, and it's nice for them to see like the odd one out represented in such a big platform. But yeah, I can't thank everyone enough for how it's been received. And honestly, that part as well, as we were saying, was overwhelming, just because I didn't see many bad reviews for it. There's a few, there's some people who think I'm an actor, which I think might be an insult to the acting profession if I call myself an actor. And yeah, I'm actor, or like I was placed in there, or I'm the guy off Corrie. So yeah, you have a few of those people, but it's all just light-hearted fun. But it's been really, really positive.
So you're not the guy off Corrie, no?
I'm not,
You're not. Ah, right,
no. I've never been in the street, no.
okay. I mean, I was hooked. My wife was watching it. My wife was hooked. I had colleagues come up to me at work saying, you're interviewing Josh, you're interviewing Josh. And they were hooked, and just looking through your socials, how popular it was. But let me ask you, what was it like watching yourself back over them 8 episodes? And I know that you are a performer in the ring, you're a professional wrestler, so you've probably seen your matches back, and you don't mind performing in front of, let's be honest, when you're performing in your underwear pretty much, your tights and knee pads. But what was it like watching yourself back on the E4 reality series, and kind of, give us a bit of insight into what was it like, watching yourself on TV?
It's funny you use that analogy about watching yourself back in like tape watching when you're wrestling, because I hated watching myself back. I think 99% of wrestlers hate watching themselves back. So it's kind of like, I remember one of the most awkward parts was when I w first walked into the house, and the producer with me, she was like, "Right, you're gonna go in the house and you're on your own. You'll look around the room and just say what you see." A bit like catchphrase. So I walked in, and I just didn't know what to say. It was this big empty room with all these cameras, and I started going around like commented on plants and drawers and being a bit nosy. And I felt like this can't be good TV, just me commented on a sideboard or something. So I think they had a little clip of that, and I was like, I just want the ground to swallow me up. But it was so weird. It was funny to watch some things back, but it was also funny to see the things that you missed, like the conversations between other housemates and the things that you said that you forgot, or the things that you did that you forgot. So it was like watching a match back, but it wasn't too bad, I like to say.
There we go. We got a few people watching us at home. We've got lots of people watching us at home, as a matter of fact. We got to Megan, who trains at ASW South. You've done ASW South Proud. That's obviously your training school for professional wrestling. We'll talk a bit more about ASW South a bit later on. We got so we know very well, Chris Adonis Payne. Glad the Four Experts won back in March. Can't wait to face Josh again if he comes back to the squared circle, if he comes back, and we'll talk about that very, very soon. And we've mentioned United Wrestling. They are watching as well. Thank you, United Wrestling. We've always believed that Josh must win. That's absolutely right. And let's just see where we are here. So I last saw you just over a month ago, and it was the most recent show at United Wrestling, the Tap Social. And I think that's kind of where the news kind of leaked, really, because you were going to announce it to the audience. You were going to announce it to the crowd after your match that you were going to be stepping away from wrestling to do this or to embark on, you know, a possible TV career. But we didn't know until then, and that was maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the series started airing. How much of a secret was it? Did you have to keep it secret from your friends or your relatives, your mum, your chocolate Labradors? Who knew and who didn't know? And what did they know before it started airing?
My family knew because I lived at home at the time. I don't anymore, but I did then. So obviously being around parents, they ask you certain questions. And I think when you're involved in something like this, you naturally just want to talk about it. And I did have to sign an NDA, but they did say, we don't expect you to keep your mum and dad in the dark. So there are certain people that you can tell, but only tell people outside the family that you can trust, but try and limit it to maybe a handful, maybe 10 people, if that. So a few people knew, a few of my close friends knew, but it was only people that I knew I could trust with the secret, because the last thing I wanted to do is have someone leak it and whatever might have happened if we'd gone down that route. But thankfully, everyone that I trust, I chose well, because it didn't leak from what I could see. But I did have to keep cards very close to the chest. Yeah.
So let me ask you then, before this E4 series even came onto your horizon, your radar, was there ever a desire deep inside you to maybe have a career in TV or acting, anything outside of the wrestling ring?
No, honestly. I thought I was going to be a wrestler until my body broke. And that was always the goal for me. Growing up, I absolutely fell in love with the business. So that's all I wanted to do. And I thought if I was going to be famous, it was going to be in a wrestling sense. But I think like when it just goes to show, like if an opportunity comes up that you're not even expecting, you just take it. You just see what happens. Because I went in with the mentality of the show. If I'm in there a day, it's something that I could say that I've done, and then it turned into a show on E4 with my name in it. So it was never big aspirations or me using wrestling as like a platform to get to TV or get to another area of my career, but it just all kind of fell into place and it all kind of just came together. And the first bit of TV that I did, it's got a show on with my name on it on E4. So I'd be quite stupid to turn a blind eye to that and not try and give it a good shot, I say. But no, it wasn't anything that I thought of.
So let me ask you then, peel back the curtain a little bit. How did you get onto Channel 4 or E4's radar in order to get the ball rolling on this TV show? So, you know, how did that conversation, how did those conversations and the process get started?
A casting director messaged me, DM'd me on Instagram, and he just said, look, we've got a new show on Channel 4 that you think you'd be a good fit for. Are you interested in it? And it was very close to me just ignoring the message because it did kind of look like a scam message. So I was very much like, this is ridiculous, not even worth a reply. I thought, no, do you know what? If there's something in my mind, if this is something, then just reply. What's the reply cost you on Instagram? So that reply ended in him telling me about the show, what was then the favourite, what we knew it as. And then it was, I think I had 2 Zoom calls with the same guy who messaged me. And then they took me up to London to do like a few screen tests on like a rainy Thursday afternoon or something. It screen tests, doing a few games, just see how you come across on camera. And then I think I didn't hear much for a while. And then they just messaged me and was like, yeah, you're on the show. We're filming at this point. We'll pick you up at this time. Train's all booked for you. Just make sure you're available if nothing going on during this filming time. So it all kind of just from that one reply just snowboarded into something that could actually come about. So it was whirlwind. It was mad. It was weird. But I didn't have anything to think or expect because TV was never on my radar. But it was just a message on Instagram that turned into a show.
Absolutely amazing. And I've got a few pictures here, and kind of fresh in the house there. trying to figure things out. Some of your housemates as well. Yeah. I say housemates, it was more of a mansion, wasn't it? But it was a big old, there we go, when you just sat down in, I don't know if it's the diary room, but that's a look at the mansion there. You were there for about 2 weeks. So, you know, it kind of works out according to the number of episodes. But let me ask you, I mean, it all looks quite bright and sunny there, and people have, you know, got their shirts open and looking quite tanned. A lot of it fake, I'm sure. But when was this filmed?
This was filmed, it's just gone past a year to the day. I came out on the 6th of April last year, and I went on like the 24th of March or something like that. So it pretty much just turned a year old that when I went in and filmed it. But we did have very good weather for it. Because the mansion was just on the estuary, and like you could just see all the ships go past. So when there was a bit of a lull in filming, I made myself a cup of tea and I go watch the ships like a proper old man that I am. So, but the weather was really nice, and it was a massive, massive house. I don't think I saw, like 2/3 of it. I think where we were filming and where we were allowed was like 1/3 of the mansion.
Yeah. And we got the last Viking watching us at home. He sends us a question live via YouTube. Did you keep anything from the set? So a bit of a naughty question. You don't need to own up to anything, but did you kind of, you know, obviously, you know, the star, the show is named after you. You're allowed to take a little trinket or two, aren't you, Josh?
The control room where all the celebs sat with all like the little wooden figure, my face in it, the mugs, the shirts, the hats. They just gave me a big bag and just said, "Here, we don't really need this for much anymore, so if you want to keep a memento of the show, absolutely just take it." I think I put something on my social media. It had a massive box of cupcakes, and it was for like the runners and the staff just to peck at on the final day. And I think about 10 were eaten and left about 50, and they were like, "Yeah, just take these if you want as well." So it was just me lugging a big thing of cupcakes back from Southend, and me trying to like cover up the Josh Must Win, because I was still quite nervous that someone might ask me about it. But they just offloaded a load of merch onto me, so I didn't take any like statues or anything, or didn't nick a camera and put it in my bag or anything like that. But just pretty much half of the control room merch ended up coming back with me.
Okay, as long as you didn't kind of walk off the set with an ox tongue or anything disgusting like that.
No, I left that on the floor after I sat
out. I don't blame you. I really don't blame you.
I don't know who got that.
But we will continue talking to Josh, but a quick plug for our good friends over at PWE. And their first show happens this coming Saturday, the 27th. You can get tickets at PWE2024.com. And some of the matches that they have on offer for the debut show, Easter Extravaganza, you've got Stephen King versus Big Mike Wilde there. That's going to be a fantastic match there. Luke Basham versus Nate Riley versus Woody Anderson. Another fantastic three-way there, all on Saturday the 27th. You got a women's triple threat match, Chloe Nightshade, Violet Knight, and Lydia Cruz. Go and check that one out over at PWE Entertainment. And this coming Saturday, their debut show also includes Ashley Dunn versus Matt Adams and their main event, the unpredictable CJ Rawlins versus the People's Captain, Steve Valentino. Go and check it out. Go and check out all their socials. Go to PWE2024.com to get your tickets today for their debut show, Easter Extravaganza. You will not be disappointed. But back to Josh. And thank you so much to PWE there for helping to sponsor this show this week. Let's talk about the celeb judges then, shall we? Because even they were, I believe they were in the dark from day one. Even they went in there thinking that it was a show called The Favourite until, you know, that the show got flipped on its head and it turned into kind of a reality series unlike any other we've seen before. It started out a bit like Big Brother and then, like I say, it just got flipped on its head. But it was a kind of a different type of reality series to what we've ever seen before. It's almost, you know, Truman Show-esque when you finally watch it and realize what they're trying to achieve. I don't know whether you've ever seen Big Brother or a fan of reality series, was this something that you would normally watch at home? And what, when you kind of watched it back, it was very, very unique to watch, wasn't it?
It really was. The concept really impressed me when it was revealed to me. But I can't say that I've ever been a big reality TV watcher. When I was younger, I watched like Big Brother, and I watch I'm a Celeb every year because I absolutely love I'm a Celeb, and I hope that I'm actually in the jungle one of these days. I mean, I'm trying to put it in every conversation that I have with Channel 4 people or ITV people. It's just like, yeah, I'd quite like to go in the jungle. So I'm trying to manifest that. But I said to the producer, and I might have even said it on camera, I'm the least likely person to be in a reality TV show. And the first night, like when you saw me on the outside and on the outskirts where everyone's in the circle, I must have been the first person on reality TV who didn't want to be on reality TV. It was very Truman Show, very Black Mirror-esque. And I can't say that I've ever seen anything that has a show within a show and no one knows about it. So it was just mental, and it's an honor to be part of like the first real case study almost for a show like that.
Yeah, and I'm just going to bring up some pictures of the judges. They were fantastic. I thought a real good mix. You couldn't get four people, you know, to really gel and be a fantastic unit. Great judges for the show, and they helped to make the show as much as the contestants. And you hit the nail on the head when you did first enter. You did seem out of place. You definitely seemed the less likely of all the contestants to ever be involved in a reality series like that. How long did it take for you to start to kind of feel comfortable and start to feel a bit more yourself in there, Josh?
I'd say after the first elimination. Because as you say, when I went in, I was kind of like, oh my God. And all the big personalities are usually the sort of people that I tend to stay away from in like social. And that's why I don't really go to nightclubs, or don't ever go to nightclubs, because it's just full of those people in my mind. So now being in a house with all of them, it was a very overwhelming, and it was a lot to take in. And I kind of saw like the first elimination as like, well, this might actually be my way out, and maybe go home. But when I got saved by the panel, it was kind of like a kick up the backside. Just like, well, I'm here, I might as well be here, because I feel like if I were to go home instead of Gabby in the first elimination, I would have looked back and thought I really didn't do a good job and I didn't do myself proud. So it was kind of like a lifeline or a life raft that got thrown to me after I got saved. So I was like, you know what, I'm here, I might as well be here. And that's when I really started to kick on and really just relaxed. And, you know, what you yourself know me as kind of came out in the house.
Yeah, absolutely. And United Wrestling starting a hashtag, Josh for the Jungle. There we go. We'll get that trend in no time, I'm sure. And the last one, kid, Josh in the Jungle could be hilarious TV. Could be fantastic TV. There you go. Let me ask you, I think where you first started to really come onto people's radar and start to kind of, I don't know, warm the hearts of the nation was where you had the, now let me just get my notes up here. It was the challenge where you had to rate yourself in terms of how nice you are. I don't know if you remember that task.
I
think there was what, 8 or 9 contestants in total. And I think automatically you kind of stuck yourself at number 6, but it almost looked like you wanted to kind of walk further. You knew that you were nicer than number 6 deep down. And then I think it was Louis and Jeanette said, you know, you should be number one. You should be up here. And who was it? Miles said, you can't confuse niceness with quietness, and that he hadn't seen anything that suggested you should be higher than Louis. Now, immediately, I just wanted to, it's like, who's this guy? What's he on about? I think that, I mean, firstly, do you remember that task? Because it looked as though you wanted to move yourself higher up the rankings anyway, but you kind of just politely stayed at number 6. Am I right in thinking that, you know, you would have naturally have rated yourself a bit higher, knowing the contestants that were in there?
I definitely wanted to be higher than 6, because I do everything that I do, just try and treat people with respect and just make sure that I'm nice, because I know, having worked in the service industry myself before, I know what it's like when you have to deal with rude people, and having experienced the worst of rude people, I just try everything that I can not to be that person. And it takes a lot for me not to be polite and nice. So when the niceness, the best looking, most outgoing, whatever, I don't really care about those. But when the niceness came off, no, I am nice. And then Louis and Jeanette went to bat for me, and tried to stick me at one. But what you saw from the Miles is very much what we experienced in the house, which is why we tried to get him out so many times. But that set something off in me. I didn't let it come out because I knew he was trying to get a reaction out of me. But him saying, "Well, you can't confuse niceness with quietness," he knew me for about an hour and a half at that point. That was like one of the first things that we did. So he had no right to judge who's nice and who's not. It's all very personal. It's all very the words stick in my mind, but it's subjective. It's people think what they want about themselves and try and think they're better. And but yeah, I'd say six was on the tail end of I'm not having this. So yeah.
I think that was obvious. And then Nick Grimshaw came over the intercom, didn't he? He asked you if Louis should be at number one, to which you said that you thought Louis was lovely and that if you were doing the challenge yourself, you would put Louis at number one. And right there, you melted the hearts of the nation. You also proved to the judges and some of your fellow contestants that you deserve to be number one, even if you didn't think so. And that, in my opinion, that was a key moment for you. And you, very, very early on, kind of demonstrated what a nice guy you are, but also what a potential winner you were as well. So I think that, I Nick Grimshaw coming over the intercom kind of in a whole different light after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Lou. As soon as he walked in, he was one of the people that I could actually stomach. Maybe stomach's not the right word, but one of the people who walked in, I was like, oh, he's a bit less freaky, and it's something. As soon as we met each other, we just instantly clicked. So yeah, if I were to do it myself, and if I took myself out and saw the eight people that were standing there, Louis and Jeanette would definitely be one and two, because they, you saw on the show, they are my people. We instantly came together, we instantly connected and got along, and that friendship only progressed and led to the final. So yeah, Nick Grimshaw kind of asking me that question did set me up, and almost bring out like the first part of my personality by asking me that question. So I'm thankful to Grimmy that he did ask me that question.
And it proved that you had a voice, and you very eloquently kind of put across your thoughts there. And you mentioned Louis and Jeanette, and I know that you've caught up with them since the show has finished. But so those were the two that you bonded with the most during that show, and like I say, all the way through to the final as well. So a fantastic friendship that continues, I'm guessing, after the show as well. You've had a chance to meet up with them.
Oh yeah. They came to the tap. They came to a United show. I think when I wrestled Spicer, they came. And we kind of had to keep our friendship quite low down, because if we start commenting and hanging out, he'll be like, "How do you know each other?" and all the rest of it. So we've been meeting up in secret in the year from when we filmed it to when it just been released, and now we can actually say, "Oh, we do know each other. We do like each other." So that those two photos, me and the polo, is when I went up to Milton Keynes to Jeanette's house to, well, film against my will, film TikToks and do a bit of trends, because I've never done anything like that. So Lou and Jeanette had to coach me through this. Was, yeah, literally, they just, I could have been doing anything, and they just said, "Yeah, just do it. You look great." I was fine. Okay. But we went out, we had dinner, we had TikTok sessions, we had a podcast filmed. So it was a lovely day to see them again. And we're going to see each other again multiple times over in the future.
Absolutely. And the other task that really, I don't know, made you a bit of a hero within the house was, now Jeanette had just failed her task when she had to try to retrieve an ox tongue out of a vat of soured milk. And then it was your turn to do a challenge, to do a task. And I think the first one was where you had to have a pair of braces slapped against your chest. Any normal person would have went ouch, but you're a professional wrestler, so you've toughed that one out. You no sold it. And then you had to put your finger into a mouse trap, which you did successfully as well. No sold that one as well. And then the judges came over the intercom and said, I've got one more challenge. In order to win Polaroids for the house, for the party that night, you had to do the task that Jeanette couldn't do and retrieve the ox tongue out of the soured milk. And you did that as well. And I think that that kind of made you a bit of a hero in the house. And not only did they have the party that night, but they had the Polaroid cameras thanks to you. What do you remember about those challenges in particular?
The first one was the braces, but I've been chopped by Redmond, I've been chopped by Bullet, I've been chopped by Niwa. They not to no sell the braces, but they all chop harder than the braces were pinged. So that was the mouse trap. You can see my finger shaking. I really didn't want to do that one, and it really, really hurt. But again, tried to no sell that one. But the big vat of soured milk, I thought, you know, I can't have this presented in front of me and not give it a go. There you go, with one of the most unique looks that I've ever had, and that's saying something. But one thing that I didn't take into consideration is when you try and grab the ox tongue, you have to open your mouth. And when you open your mouth, a load of sour milk goes into it. And that set off my gag reflex. And I was kind of choking on sour milk. It was annoying because I could feel it, but I just couldn't grab it. It kept slipping. So I kind of buried my teeth into it, and almost like a crane, arcade crane, just hooked it and brought it out before I dropped it again. But it wasn't something that I want to do again.
There we go. And the reaction amongst your fellow contestants was fantastic. You were the hero of the day. The other kind of challenge or task that I want to bring you back to was when the judges called your mum to get a story or a fact that nobody else knew about you. And she told the judges a very emotional and heroic story about when you were with your mum and you saw a young girl on her scooter and rode into the road, nearly got ran over by a lorry. If it wasn't for yourself chasing after the girl and rescuing her at the very last second. And this story got retold to the contestants in the Read the Room challenge, where contestants had to match the shocking true statement to the contestants. But take us back to that, because, you know, your mum told the story fantastically, and then it got retold to your fellow contestants. And you always kind of blushed a little bit or seemed a little bit embarrassed by, you know, being called a hero at that moment in time. But it was the perfect story for that episode and for the contestants to be told. But take us back to that moment.
It was, it's one of them things where you could just, again, have a sixth sense, so you just see what's going to happen. You know, if you don't do something, and it's not something of, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to run, I'm going to grab her just at the last second. So if someone doesn't do something, this little girl's going to get walloped by this lorry beaming down, going far too quick when he's approaching a junction as well. So it was like I could see the mum like calling after and running after her, but she's just having the time of her life, just bombing down. So I could see two things coming together, and I thought, no. So it's just a instinct at reflex, thinking someone has to do something. You don't even really think about it. And again, I don't like to broadcast anything like that, just because I don't think it's worth it, really.
You're very modest.
Thank you. But I don't want to introduce it to everyone that I meet. It's kind of just something that happens, and I'll just move on with my life. But thankfully, I was there, or someone was there, to stop that little girl. And I don't think she realised the danger she was in. So it's just a disaster avoided.
Absolutely. And even Nick Grimshaw described you as Bournemouth's very own Spider-Man. And your mum commented that you already had the tights. All you needed was the cape. I bet that was a funny moment around the TV when you watched that back.
Yeah, my mum hates her phone voice. She when Grimmy called her, she like spun to me and went, "That's not actually how I sound, is it?" She calls me a lot. I was like, "That is exactly how you sound." And she was like, "Oh no, I can't be doing this." I was like, "Well, don't have a phone voice then." But she was mortified by her phone voice. And she saw in the clip where the Vicky Patterson breaks the glass in like case of emergency. I didn't know what that was, and I think it was Jeanette that really went like MI6 on it and said that envelope says Josh's mum's number. So I said that to my mum, I think before the episode came out, and she's like, "Oh no, I'm not going to be on the show, am I? No, I can't." I was like, "Well, yes, you are. whether you like it or not, it's happening. And she, I think I vaguely recall when I came out, she said, "Oh, a producer called me halfway through your time in there, and he sounded really familiar to me." I was like, "Oh, okay, not thinking anything of it." And then we put two and two together. It's like, "Oh, my mum spoke to Nick Grimshaw. That's cool."
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought your mum was a star, and what a fantastic story. And like I say, that helped to elevate you even further in the house there. And let's talk a bit about episode five and the entertainment challenge. And this is where it was your time to shine, Josh, because this is where you got to show off your wrestling skills. Firstly, by picking up Denise Van Outen, and during the rehearsal or the practice, there you are picking her up. She looked like she had the time of her life there. And then during the challenge, you had this, I don't know whether he was a trained performer in a morph costume, that kind of was not only able to kind of show your passion for professional wrestling, Josh, but was able to wow your fellow contestants in the process, but also putting you in your wheelhouse. It looked like you had a ton of fun. Let's say bringing your love, your passion of professional wrestling into the house, and to show the judges and Denise Van Outen and the fellow contestants, how passionate you are about professional wrestling. Tell us about that challenge as well.
So they the guy that I wrestled the morph, he was I think he was just a runner on the show, but he was a lovely guy, and it was funny to see, like, you tell someone, "Right, I'm going to suplex you, right, I'm going to put him in your submission," and he just remembers it and he just gets it, and it doesn't need to be told twice, and he puts himself in where you need him to be. And then the producers were very adamant. Every, like, in my journey going to Southend to film it, every hour they were like, "Are you sure you've got your gear?" Like, "Yeah, I've got my gear." "Are you sure it's with you? Like, you double check just for us. You sent us a picture." So they're very adamant on getting my wrestling in there at some point. But a funny story that wasn't shown, they put a WWE title on me, a replica. And having seen, like, YouTube things, I go down rabbit holes of like continuity and filmmaking and things like that. I know a little bit about copyright, and there was like this big mirror in the hallway, and it was just me and my gear with this tiny little WWE championship. And I said to the producer, I turned to him and said, "Have you got clearance to use this?" And he looked at me, "Oh, I don't think it means anything." I mean, it's the main world title of the biggest wrestling company in the world. I think it does mean something. You might want to check. So he had like a WhatsApp group that he took a picture and he sent it off. But he wasn't. We were. It was about 2 minutes until we filmed the entrance and the wrestling bit. So he ran down the hallway, asked the guy in person, and ran back about 30 seconds later. It's like, Josh, not an effing chance. No, get it off, get it off." So I. It, we would either have to refilm it or blur it out, or just not film the entrance. But that was funny. A funny little behind, putting the curtain back, funny little story.
That could have been a sticky moment for E4, couldn't
He was like, "Thank God you said something." So, "Oh, I did wonder. Yeah, WWE. I'm sure they didn't sign off on this." But yeah, it's just, again, adds to the fun of being in the house. But what we were saying about forgetting that you did certain things, I forgot that I picked Denise up. I completely wiped my memory until I hoisted her up, and I made sure I had extra tight grip on her, because I thought if I dropped Denise, it's not going to look good.
No,
So
no.
it
That's
was
bad press, that is, dropping
it's
somebody
yeah
famous.
it's not what you want to be known for. It's not something you want to do. But yeah, no, the wrestling was. It was, as you say, it's my wheelhouse. It's like second nature to me. And something does click in my head, whether it be on E4, whether it be in the Tap Social for United or any wrestling ring. You just switch as a performer. As soon as you go through the curtain, you're yourself turned up, and it's like a completely different person almost.
You burst through that curtain as if you were about to perform in front of a few hundred people in the Tap Social, and like I say,
There you
you
go.
handled the guy in the morph costume no problem at all, and there you are with a pose that I've seen before, with you in a wrestling ring for sure. And you were in your element. You were performing, and that's exactly what your passion's all about. And we got let's have a look. We got United again. She got a good slap. She's got a good slap. Was that Denise Van Outen? Did she lay one on you?
Not that I remember. She might have done.
I'm not sure what they're referring to there. Let me ask you, that was probably your favourite task, I'm guessing, or one of your favourite challenges of your entire time in the mansion?
It's definitely the easiest, I found, just because it was second nature. And up to that point, I've been doing it. Like, I've been training 3 times a week. I've been on shows. So it was definitely, you put the tights on, you put the kick pads on. It's like, right, I'm at the time, Josh Nomax. It's like taking a duck to water. It's just easy things for me to do.
Absolutely. And we got Darren, who sent us a question before we went live. How do you feel having to do different tasks on the show Josh Must Win? Now, we've spoken about a few challenges and a few tasks already, but were there any other tasks or challenges you had to do in your time in the mansion that you fondly remember?
The egg one I quite liked, just because it was just a big, we knew we were getting to the final couple of days, so it was just a nice little relaxing thing to do. And then the tension between me and Louis came out when we were racing to the podium. But the rating one, I just thought it was quite generic, reality TV tasks. But I have to, like, the shocking truth, that was nice, but again, I didn't really do much in that one. I think Dre got shocked. I think Darius got shocked. So I didn't have to be wired up to it or anything. But they were all really unique, really a different set of skills needed for them. The photo shoot one, when Gemma Collins said the photo shoot, I was like, oh, bloody hell, because I'm not a runway model at all. And they cut out the bit where, when they said, who's your idol? I went, David Beckham. But before that, she looked at me and was like, who's your idol? I was like, I don't have one. And she was like, just say anyone. And I was like, who's a guy that takes pictures? Oh, David Beckham. I quite like him. Yeah, he's my idol. Why not? And then I think the outfit that I got given was very Beckham 2002-esque. It was 2 sizes too big for me. I was falling over the pants. And it was freezing outside that day. It looked good weather. And I'm just so pale in the pictures. I honestly just wanted to put myself away, lock myself in when you see my pasty chest in the camo.
You did very well. You did very well. Here's a few pictures from some of the other tasks I did. I can't quite remember exactly which one, but they all look a bit colder there. It's definitely no guys with their shirts open like they were before. Definitely looks a little bit colder there. And I think this is actually the judges having a bit of fun backstage preparing for one of the tasks. And that's one of the judges slapping the other one across the face with a fish. And I remember that one. That one looked like it hurt. It sounded like it hurt anyway. Take us back to the finale then, and describe the moment in the final episode when you was voted the favourite and voted the winner of the whole process by your fellow contestants. When that announcement was made, how did you feel?
Again, it doesn't, anything like that doesn't really register to me when it happens. It's like winning the United title. It's kind of just a big wash over. It feels a bit numb almost. But standing up there with Jeanette, you know, I could have asked for someone else to be standing there with. And to go from me kind of not wanting or not feeling comfortable in the house to being the final two and having my name said as the winner, It was like almost like the end to a wrestling storyline. You know, you rags to riches almost. You win the title at the end. You win the big match at the end. But it was very surreal. It was very numb, as I say, the feeling. And Jeanette was the best hype girl you could have ever hoped, because she started doing laps around the living room after they said that I've won. But then obviously they took Jeanette out to reveal the concept of the show to him and left me sitting in the living room for about half hour. So to go from, you know, the heights of you just won the reality TV show to having no one to speak to, you kind of have to keep yourself company after this big announcement. That felt a bit alien. But obviously they had to do that way because they needed to tell Jeanette and then it needs to bring me in and all the rest of it. But yeah, the half hour when I was left on my own, it's like, I could have easily not been here. I could easily not have replied to the message. I could have easily walked away at any time before filming.
So have they forgotten about me?
Yeah, I was like, sorry, I'm still here. Excuse me. it was a fantastic feeling. And obviously, I thought, well, I did win £10,000, but I've got 10 grand now. That's nice. I'll put that on wrestling gear. I'll spruce up my Audi a bit that I've since written off. But we don't we don't talk about that. But yeah, it was a really nice, weird everything feeling.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the moment when you got taken back to where the producers were, where the hosts were, mission control, I'm going to call it for the sake of this this episode. We saw the judges, and then you realise that that you was not in the show that you all thought you were in to start off with, but in fact, you're in a show that was aimed at making you the winner in a show that was in fact called Josh Must Win. Could you quite believe what was going on? And before you answer that, I'm going to bring up this screen grab here. The exact moment when they told you that, in fact, you weren't in a show called The Favourite. You were, in fact, in a show called Josh Must Win. And it was all about you. Add a bit of context to that reaction, because it looked like you almost couldn't believe what was going on. All very surreal. Fill us in.
So we knew that we needed to be there. Even if you got eliminated from the show, you needed to be there until the end of filming. They give you a set date, so we just got it into our mind that everyone's going to come back at the end. There's going to be like a big meetup, maybe like a little banner or something for the winner, and it's just going to be like a nice little meetup. And when you go through that door, there were like four industrial TV cameras staring at me. Oh, okay. I turn and see all the celebrities. So my back was already a bit against the wall there. I thought, what's going on? What's this? Because this isn't like a big combination. This is something else. I knew that much. And then Pete Wicks, Amber Rose Gill, Nick Grimshaw, and Vicky Patterson sat me down on the couch, and they were just so overwhelmed. I bless her. Vicky started crying, and it was just so over. And they put it up on the screen. They said Josh Must Win. I was like, nah. This isn't real. This isn't a thing. It's literally me going. That was like, you know, the meme where like the buffering circle is, and like the text tone or whatever it is. That was all going on in my head. It was buffering.
White
was
noise.
literally like everything like went quiet and numb. I was looking at the screen for about 30 seconds. I was, nah, come on. No, what's this really about? So it was just, again, trying to get used to it. I knew I was being filmed by the action, so I was trying to almost save face and not burst into tears myself. So it was just, it was so weird. It's still really weird to me that I've got a show on E4. But when that was like the raw reaction that you saw. So I guess that's my surprise face.
Yeah, absolutely. Just going to bring up a few more pictures here. There you are with the hosts. Like I say, they even made merch with your face on it. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? But every wrestler's dream, really. Like I say, you're going to have fans wanting to know if you're going to be selling that at the shows next. We'll find out. But let me ask you now, was there ever a point in the series when you were in the house when you felt that something else was afoot, when something else was going on, when, you know, were you and the other contestants felt that something wasn't quite right and that there was another agenda or something else happening behind the scenes that obviously led to what we all knew was, you know, not The Favourite, but Josh Must Win? Was there any giveaways or any clues or any conversations that this wasn't quite what they said it was?
I must not be as smart as I think I am, because I just had no idea. I'm just completely oblivious. No, and like when I'm like, as you're saying, like people recognising me, I went up to Wimbledon and I was walking through Wimbledon High Street with a few of my family, and they're going, "He recognised you, he saw you. It's just, I'm completely oblivious to everything that's going on around me. I think in the penultimate day or the last day, we felt something, like with the ox time being raised up, I thought, oh, that was quite easy. And there were like little bits here and there. But like the barcode on the milk where it said Josh Must Win, I'm not sure that, yeah, you go, perfect. I'm not sure that was an actual thing. It might have been, but who looks at a barcode on the pint?
You just didn't notice it, did you? Who looks at a barcode?
Exactly. And then they says, tell me that every day that I was in the house, they tried to get more and more obvious, like with the paintings of the judges, the barcode, the cups in the cupboards. Looking at that, but you know, you can't look at that and go, oh, that's a show about me. It's JMW. It's like, oh, that's a bit weird. I thought it was like Josh Miles someone else.
You got the kind of hedge or something there. JMW in the centre of the lawn there in the mansion. I don't know if you ever spotted that.
I'm 99% sure that hedge wasn't there.
Really?
I think that's where we did the yoga. And I think on the photo shoot one, we'd have to walk through the hedge to get to where Gemma Collins was. So I think that might have been a bit of TV trickery.
Maybe. And then, of course, you had the barcode.
That one might have been real. The mugs, I think, were real. And I remember the big buffet that we had at the end of the, on the final day, the four of us, they says we literally put, a bit like the barcode, on the carton of orange juice. It's like, we literally wrote Josh must win, but because they gave us alcohol, no one ever noticed it. But yeah, I can't say there was ever in my mind that it wasn't anything other than a favourite, but there were little hints that they dropped in that you'd have to be like Sherlock Holmes to figure out. So whether I'm not as smart as I think I am, or whether I'm just completely oblivious to everything going on around me, I thought it was a favourite until I walked through that door.
There we go. And earlier on, somebody's cleared up a comment from earlier. United Wrestling said she's got a good slap, and the Last Viking is referring. It said that it's about your mum. Did your mum slap Mike Baker?
Yeah, she did.
It's all coming back now.
This was when I'm pretty sure this is when Mike turned on me when he was the special ref when he cost me the United title. He kind of exited the ring and stood in front of my mum's face, and my mum slapped him on. Yeah, that's a locked in memory. I quickly forgot Mike got slapped by my mum. But it looked like a hard slap from the footage that I saw. If I'm correct in thinking, that's when he was a special referee, and he deserved it in my mind.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about United very, very. In fact, we're going to get into the wrestling portion of this interview very, very soon. But like I say, a very, very memorable 8 episodes, a very, very memorable time for yourself. Like I say, it really did flip reality TV on its head, and a time I'm sure you'll never ever forget, Josh.
No, not at all. Like I said to everyone who will listen, I would quite happily wake up tomorrow, jump back in that house and do it all over again. It's something that I'm really glad that I said yes to and replied to that message. It's something that I'm really glad that I stepped outside my comfort zone on. And it's gave me like the bug for TV now. It's kind of opened a new door in my life that this is a viable option. So it goes to show that you need to sometimes step out of your comfort zone, I think, and just throw yourself into any opportunity that comes up, because you never know what will come of it. But it's hopefully the first of many, many more TV things for myself to come.
Absolutely. We keep our fingers crossed. There's a lot of opportunities even that come your way very, very soon. Let's talk about professional wrestling, because as I mentioned in the intro, you were a former 2-time United Wrestling champion, professional wrestler for coming up 5 years now. Did you always have the ambition to want to be a pro wrestler? I'm guessing that you were a lifelong fan as well, but was there always this burning desire to be a pro wrestler?
I think so. Yeah, my brother turned me on to wrestling when I was 8 years old. I think that, weirdly enough, the first bit of wrestling that I ever saw was CM Punk cashing in his Money in the Bank on Edge, and since then I was hooked. I became completely obsessed with professional wrestling. And it was always something that I aspired to do. You have dreams as a kid that you want to be an astronaut or professional wrestler. And then it was around 17 years old that I made the decision. It's like, well, I actually want to make this a career now, because I'm not interested in anything else. So that's when I started taking bumps and taking roles. It's just ever since I was 8, it's just completely consumed my life.
Absolutely. And you said that you started training around the age of 17, made your debut at the age of 18. I've got a picture here. Possibly of one of them early yeah. days, early matches.
That was the match.
Your very first match?
That's my debut.
And dare I say, exactly the same pose as you did in the house.
It's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realise I did the whole birds pose, but yeah.
There we go. What sort of wrestler were you back then? And you were known by a slightly different name back in them days as well.
I've given myself quite a few names. Back then, it was Josh Max Moore. I think my first ever wrestling name I came up with was like Johnny England or something horrendous like that. But I settled on Josh Maxmore, and then it turned into Josh Nomax, and then Gorgeous Josh became a thing for a while, and then around August last year, I just dropped all the gimmicks and names. I thought, I'm just Josh Folds, and this is who I am. But the type of wrestler I was a cruiserweight. You know, I was always the smallest guy in the ring. I was the underdog, literally in the ring. I was a high flyer. Well, I like to say I'm a high flyer. I wasn't like Ricochet or anyone outstanding like that. I jumped off the top of the rope, is what I mean by a high flyer. But yeah, I was quite fast for a 18-year-old kid. And then, you know, a few injuries here and there may have slowed me down a little bit. So a mixed bag of names, some horrendous, some not so horrendous. But I was never anything other than the underdog, really.
Absolutely. So it kind of ties in with the TV series to a certain degree, the underdog.
Yeah.
maybe that should be your nickname going forward. I don't know. But I put out some social posts over the weekend to try and drum up some more interest, as if I needed it for your appearance. And somebody put a comment, Michael John Thompson, be rude if the cult of Gorgeous Josh didn't tune in, lol. You mentioned Gorgeous Josh. That was one of your many names back in your early days. Tell us a bit about that character.
Gorgeous Josh was never something that I thought I'd be known as. But it kind of, I think I wrestled Mariah May for the United title, the first one that I won. And it was just at the start of the match. And, you know, she did the whole glamour thing. She still does it to this day. And I think someone shouted, like, you're gorgeous or something. And she just thought it was about her. So it's like, oh, thank you. And like, no, it's probably Michael. He went, no, he's gorgeous. And then Gorgeous Josh started chanting, and it's just something that took off, and it became a bit culty, actually. No matter how many times I changed my name after, it was Gorgeous Josh. And I had some like purple floral tights made up for it when I wrestled RJ Singh, defended my title against him. So Gorgeous Josh just spawned in the Tap Social one day. It's not something that I ever thought I'd be called, but I can't deny that I love the name, because it's I think when wrestling fans give you a name, that's your name almost. So I went to Wales and actually performed as Gorgeous Josh to a mixed reaction. But it's something that Michael, I'm sure, gave me, and it's something that stuck.
There we go. It's never too late to bring back an old gimmick, Josh. But we've started a couple of couple of hashtags, and we started this one earlier. Hashtag
one.
Josh for the jungle, and another one is this one here: the cult of Gorgeous Josh hashtag. So get these trending, guys. Please, whatever you do, let's bring that off screen. And let's continue talking about United Wrestling. They have been mentioned, that they are watching at home, so thank you. Keep sending in your questions and comments, by the way, if you're watching live. You are a two-time United champion, and you won your first championship day five, which I think was May 2022, so maybe a couple of years ago, or around about then.
Yeah.
You're coming up for a couple of years ago, but it was short-lived, wasn't it, Josh? And, you know, I never like to embarrass my guests, but it was short-lived, because you beat the aforementioned Mariah May, and then less than 10 minutes later, I think CJ Carter came and ruined your evening. But a bit of a historic moment, not just for you, but for United, because I think that was their debut in the Tap Social, which has become their home and a tremendous venue. But a bit of a bittersweet moment for you, because you became a one-time United champion and then you lost it that same evening. Tell us about it.
Yeah, when I rolled Mariah up for the win and I got the title, it was a complete elation, because that was like a milestone in my career, winning a title, and especially the United title, the company that gave me so much trust and really gave my start in professional wrestling. Because, you know, the Mike Baker, who runs and owns United Wrestling, I trained with him in London. We started being wrestlers together, and he went more into the promotion side of it. And I didn't speak to Mike for about two and a half years. Because we went our separate ways, I started training in Portsmouth and, you know, what have you. And he messaged me, I've got a show, do you want to be a part of it? It's called United Wrestling. I said, yeah, absolutely, I do. So it just speaks to him for not speak to me for 2 years to still see that I am wrestling and give me a chance. And it turned into my home promotion. I absolutely love United Wrestling. But yeah, CJ Carter cashed in. Oh, I can't remember what they called it. It was it was like their version of Money in the Bank. It was a blank check is what it was called. He beat Memes and someone else in the show before, the show before. So when that music hit, I was like, oh god, this is the worst way to start your championship reign. And then he hit me with a finisher that I kicked out of, and they just picked me up and hit me with it again. And I couldn't kick out of that one. But to be, if that would be it for me in titles, I would have been happy with it. But I would have liked it to go on a bit longer. But that whole night, that whole moment with United, yeah, that was before he cashed in his blank check on me. That picture I really like because it's got Mike in the background, and it means a lot to me because he really kickstarted my career. But yeah, it was about 5 minutes. But then, you know, I won it again. That lasted a tad longer. So it was just bizarre. It was bizarre.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, your second reign, I think you won it back the following show. I think the title may have been vacated. It was yourself and Memes. You won the title, the championship back day six, which I think was about August 2022. Held it for 6 months. Or thereabouts. There you are, having just won it for the second time, and here you are celebrating with a pint of your favourite beer, and very, very well earned. But a different championship reign altogether, because you had it not only for longer, but you was really able to kind of cement your legacy on that championship, and you're the only two-time United heavyweight champion, to the best of my knowledge, Josh.
I don't think anyone's. I think you're right, yeah. CJ had a back injury that forced him to retire, so the title was vacated, and then it became me and Memes, and I won it again. And I'm very old school in the fact that if I won a championship, being the world title, the old school mentality where like the gate is on you if you're the champion. I was very much that sort of way inclined to that of the mindset. I was constantly messaging Mike to how are tickets, because I did feel as the champion, I needed to represent the company and put the company on my back and really really do Mike proud and repay the trust that he put in me to be the champion. So that was a much more successful reign. I beat Memes for it, and then I defended it against RJ Singh. There might have been one other defense in there that I'm forgetting. And then the aforementioned turn from Mike when he was a special referee, but there we go. That was just after I hit Code Red on Memes, and I was expecting a three count. I turned around to see that, but it was, and then that obviously not to jump the gun, but that kickstarted a storyline between Mike and I. But yeah, I was very much an old school champion where I wanted to do the best that I could, and it was solely on me. And I think we had quite good turnouts for when I was champion, so I don't think I did too bad of a job.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about your feud with Mike Baker, because it started when I started kind of working there as a backstage interviewer. So I got to witness pretty much the entire feud through to its conclusion. I don't think I witnessed the referee turn, which we saw just a moment ago. But that was obviously where you lost the championship, the same match where you lost the championship to Memes. And he went on his long run as champion. But your feud, your rivalry, your storyline with Mike Baker is easily up there as one of the hottest rivalries and one of the most intriguing storylines that United has ever ran. Various matches where Mike could interfere or kind of lead to your downfall, or kind of, you know, set the odds against you, or stack the odds against you. But you finally got your comeuppance in this match here, Monster Bash 2 from October last year, where the two of you had your match, your one-on-one match. I think all sorts of gimmicks and toys were brought out, from the guitar to the Lego and so much more. But you did reconcile at the end there. But, I mean, that was a tremendous storyline and a wonderful rivalry. And it was a vicious rivalry. I think Mike tried everything within his power as the assistant general manager of United Wrestling, I think is his official title, to kind of bring you down and to, you know, ruin you. As all good wrestling storylines happen or, you know, conclude, the good guys always come out on top. That feud, that storyline, I remember that one for a long time, and the United fans will as well. Oh, I think we've lost your audio, Josh. Oh, no, we got you back. Say something. No, I think we've maybe just this. Ah, there we go. We can hear you now. Say something, Josh. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, we got you. Tell us about that rivalry, Josh.
Yeah, so the match with Mike Baker is actually one of my favourite matches, just because there was no real wrestling, just because you used a whole load of weapons. And I think the day before, I'd actually injured my shoulder. So I was working with one good wing going into that match. So we had to find ways around that. And they were very, they looked after me really well in that match. But the whole storyline is one of my favourite things that I've done in wrestling, just because Mike means a lot to me. It to have it be with him and have his retirement match. He wanted it to be against me, which meant a lot to me. So I wanted to do him justice and give him the best match that we could put on. It was a year long story intertwined with everything in every show. The HR department came into it. Josh Spicer had my back quite a few times. He got involved in the Monsters Ball match as well. But it was just we agonized for months and months about where we could take the storyline and what the payoff could be, how we could build to the crescendo of the match between Mike and myself. So it was a lot of fun to put together. We were really invested in it, and we did see it as like a cornerstone storyline rivalry of United Wrestling that almost preceded the main event in some way, just because at every time I was trying to get my hands on Mike, he was thwarting me, he was getting the HR involved, he was putting me against all odds. So it was a really layered story, really entwined and intriguing to watch. And I think we did an absolutely amazing job. And the referee turned, he smashed a bottle over my head. And then in the final closing moments of our match, mine and Mike's match, I smashed one over his head. So it was like a full circle, full comeuppance, big like movie ending. But it was really, really fun. I put a pumpkin in his head and I smashed him over the head with the guitar. And it's funny that I tried to no sell that one as well, but when I hit him with the guitar, it broke and hit me, and I had like a watery eyes from the guitar. So we both copped it on that one, but I watched that match back the other day actually. It's so much fun.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the HR department being part of that storyline, and Josh Spicer. We've got to give a shout out to Josh Spicer over on the left hand side there. Yes. The pleasure and the privilege of interviewing you guys many times backstage after your matches at United. Originally you had a match against Josh. I think it was Josh versus Josh, and the referee was called Josh as well. Yeah. It was just mad. And that was a fun match. But what that did do is that also led to kind of you uniting with Josh Spicer, becoming the two Josh power trip. I think I've got that right. I love that tag name all day long. And then the two of you kind of joined forces to take on Mike Baker, the HR department, and the various foes that they threw your way. But Josh Spicer, another awesome talent that deserves to be everywhere, and who's really kind of come on leaps and bounds in the last year or so in a United ring, in a UBW ring. But quick shout out to Josh Spicer. He was an important part of that story as well, wasn't he?
He was an integral part to that story, because it was always me against the odds, and then he stepped in as my tag partner to even the odds, and he always had my back on the HR department scene and against Mike Baker. As you said, Josh is a fantastic talent. He's such a good wrestler. He's so charismatic, and he really has a connection with any audience that he performs. I've seen him, I made the trip up to UBW and watched him, and I've seen him at Sacrifice Pro Wrestling, and he's fantastic. He's so funny. He's such a lovely guy as well. So I couldn't have asked for anyone else to have involved in the storyline on my side than Josh. The two Josh power trip did everything but win the tag team titles.
Yeah, absolutely. And your last match, or I believe it was your last match, was at United's last show last month. I think that was day 14, if I'm not mistaken. You were involved in the Phantom Weight title match against reigning champion Adonis Payne and Livy Grace, a fantastic three-way. Absolutely enjoyed the hell out of that match. Obviously, Livy Grace is an utter badass. Adonis Payne is one of the hottest young rising stars on the UK scene. And yourself, like I say, to give you credit, one of the smoothest workers in a United ring, one of the smoothest workers I've seen in a long time, just capable of absolutely anything in that ring. But take us back to that final match, knowing that it was going to be your final match for a while, Josh, possibly for the foreseeable future. What was that match like to be in, especially with those two extraordinary talents?
It meant a lot to me that particularly Adonis was in that match, because Adonis is one of the people who have always had my back. In December we teamed, and we had the triple threat match, and he was part of the meme team when memes won the United title. So we've been intertwined as well. But Adonis is just such a loyal friend. He when I needed it the most, he gave me like a kick up the arse. He said, like, you need to believe in yourself. You need to put yourself out there. You need to go through that curtain and say, look, I am here. I am the guy. So to have Adonis in the triple threat meant a lot, because it is my last match for the foreseeable. And it's the first time that I've met Livy Grace, and her kicks and her German suplex don't tickle. They hurt quite a lot. But she's a fantastic talent. She's absolutely incredible. So I think we all complemented each other really well in that triple threat. And for a retirement, well, I say retirement, for a semi-retirement match for the foreseeable future, I couldn't have asked for two better people to wrestle.
And then United Wrestling do what they do best. And they always send their wrestler, who might not be around for a little bit, for a while, off with a highlights package, a very emotional highlights package, showing your time, your run, all the highs and lows and successes of your time in a United ring. And there you are with a smile on your face. You know, maybe with a bit of a heavy heart as well. What was that like? Because they spring these things on you. They never tell you beforehand they're going to put up these emotional video packages that brings everybody to tears. What was that like for you?
I wanted to do an Irish exit. I didn't want to tell anyone that it was my last match. I didn't want to tell anyone that I was leaving. I kind of just wanted to have the triple threat match, do as best as we can, and kind of like go out the back door almost. But the first mistake was telling Mike anything, because he does what he does best. He makes people feel like family, and he puts this big promo package together and a song that may have made me tear up. But it was the highlights of United are the highlights of my career and my life so far, just because it meant such a big part of my life. It meant so much to me. So it was the decision to stop wrestling for a while was a really hard one to make. But like I said, I never want to half-ass two things. I never want to give 50% to two things. I very much want to focus my energy all on one project. So I think it became like a natural stopping point, where I kind of sat back and evaluated my professional and personal goals in the wrestling business, and they changed over the last year. So the decision to take myself away wasn't an easy one. It wasn't one that I took lightly. It was one that I agonized over for months and months. But with Josh Musselman coming out, I saw this new opportunity that I wanted to give my full attention to. But I can't say for sure if I'm ever going to wrestle again, because it takes a lot for me to get back in the ring and put myself back in that mindset. I like to say I probably will, because knowing me, I probably will at some point. But for the foreseeable future, I'm enjoying being a fan again. You know, I admittedly, I kind of lost my passion for wrestling, being in the ring in the months leading up to that triple threat. I stopped watching it. I stopped really keeping up on wrestling. And it's only when I took myself away and removed myself from being a wrestler myself that I'm now a fan. I stayed up till 5-6 in the morning both nights to watch WrestleMania, like I did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I'm playing all the games again. I'm watching all the shows again. I'm, you know, cutting promos to myself in my mirror again. It's like I'm a fan again. I'm really enjoying that, because I've not been a proper fan for a while, because I put a lot of pressure on myself to do well. But just to sit back and relax and enjoy wrestling for the performance and the the spectacle that it is, it's like I'm 12 again. So I'm happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And as much as we want you to be successful in the TV world, I'm sure all United fans and all wrestling fans will echo my sentiments. We'd love to see you back in the ring at least once sometime in the future. Who knows?
Maybe if I have another Monsters Ball match with Mike, I might come back.
There we go. And just in a nutshell, describe some of your other favourite moments, favourite highlights or favourite matches that you've had in your kind of wrestling career, let's say approaching 5 years. I've got some pictures maybe to jog a few memories, but yeah, your match when you defended the championship against RJ Singh, one of the very best in the country, and then Bullet. I think this would have been United's first show in Reading last year. And man, that guy is big. He hits hard. He's a beast. He's another guy that's kind of breaking out AA commercials and 2K commercials for video games. Those must be, you know, some opponents. And you look back on, you know, some big matches. Those two are big matches, and maybe others that you remember fondly as well, Josh.
Yeah, the match with Bullet is definitely one of the matches that I look back on with a lot of pride, just because I got to know Bullet from training AFW. I knew him a bit before, but then when I went down to Salisbury and trained with Joel Redman at AFW, Bullet's one of the coaches there. So to form a really strong friendship with him, he's one of my closest friends. And the thing that I love about Bullet is he will tell you how it is, good or bad. He's what you need to hear. So to be able to have a match with him and have it go as well as I wanted it to, because I put a lot of pressure on myself for that match because I wanted to do him proud. It was really, really fun. Really, and he's honestly one of he's the best heavyweight in not only the UK, but for my money, he's one of the best in the world. He's fantastic. He knows exactly who he is. So that was definitely a highlight. But the tag match that I had with Flatliner in AFW's Studio Theatre, I think it was the second show that they did. I tagged with a Flatliner who I actually saw when I was about 13 years old at Butlins. And I was sat in the locker room as we were kind of going over the match. And I was looking at him. I was like, can I ask you something? And he goes, go on. I was like, did you ever wrestle under the name Bubbles? And he went, I did go through a period of my career where I just said, call me Bubbles. And that must have been it. So to watch him when I was 13 to be in a tag match with him was another...
That's really cool.
Yeah, another personal match that I hold close to my heart, because it's one of the easiest matches that I've had. It's one of the matches where I really let myself just enjoy it. Not to say I didn't put any pressure on it, but just being in a tag match, just watching him do what he does was just a treat to be on his team. So, the Bullet match, the RJ Singh match, he was fantastic. He really took care of me in that match as well. But I can't say that I have too many matches where I look back on with regret. There may be one or two. But
you don't have to mention them on here. It's
no,
all right.
No. They're buried deep in the memory. They're locked away. They're not coming out again. In terms of what meant a lot to me, it was the Bullet match. It was the Flatliner match. And it was obviously winning the United titles. So I've been very fortunate in the matches that I've been a part of. And got to be able to live out some of my dreams with dream opponents.
Absolutely. And let's just bring up then pictures of you winning the championship the first time round, albeit very brief, but then a 6-month reign the second time round. And that pose on the second rope there with the belt means
ideal.
The world. There we go. Before we say goodbye to our very special guest, episode 359, Josh Folds, we'll be asking you for your socials very, very soon, Josh. But just a quick reminder, it's a busy old week for Jonas this week. Not only have I got Josh Folds tonight, but in 2 days' time, I've got Joe Blazer coming onto the show Wednesday the 24th. 8 p.m. Please hit that like, follow and subscribe button. Make sure you tune in live so you can catch Joe Blazer. Doesn't do many interviews, but he'll be coming on to Wrestling with Jonas in just 2 days' time. And 2 days after that, I've got the Kid Without Fear, Danny Black, joining me live Friday the 26th. Please check that one out. Got a fantastic career. Tag champions across the UK with tag partner Joe Lando and member of CPF. But I've been watching Danny and Joe Blazer for many years. It'd be great to have them on the show. But Josh, it's been awesome chatting to you for an hour and 20 minutes now. Time has absolutely flown. But we're going to bring up a little ticker running along the bottom. If any of my followers, fans, friends want to reach out and say hi, learn a bit more about Josh Folds or about your E4 reality series that you've just appeared in, where can they reach out? Where can they do so?
It's all _ Josh Folds. I try to keep it simple across because I'll forget half of it. But it's Instagram _ Josh Folds, X is _ Josh Folds. It's just simple across the board. Obviously, drop me a follow, drop me a message, keep up with what I'm doing next. But it's been an absolute pleasure. As I said, I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and I'm happy that I actually got the chance to sit down and you asked me and allowed me to be on your show. You know, for my money, you're one of the best in the business. So it's an absolute pleasure to be on this show.
Oh, I really, really appreciate it. And if you've got any final words to sign us off this episode of Wrestling with Jonas from Josh Folds, the underdog, the winner and the star of Josh Must Win, what would those final words be to your family members, friends, followers, people that have followed you in the TV show or maybe in the wrestling ring? What would you like to say?
I think the thing that just stood out is just how grateful I am to the support and the reaction to the show. Everyone's been so lovely, whether it's been sending me a message or stopping me on the street or watching the show. You know, I've had a load of people say how much the show meant to them and getting through tough times. So it's just a big thank you on my part for following me in wrestling, following me on this new journey, coming with me on the transition. I hope that everyone follows me in the next whatever I do next, and get Josh in the jungle trending, because I think I want to go in the jungle. I think we need to see that. If I could blow my own horn, I think I'd do quite well. So all the ego aside, it's just a big thank you. It's a big thank you to everyone. It's been really overwhelming. And it's there you go, Josh to the jungle.
Get that trending.
Get him in the jungle. Tag ITV, tag everyone you can. It's just a massive thank you to yourself as well, Jonas, for allowing me this time to come and talk about myself.
No, you're very, very welcome. And I'm just going to get rid of that hashtag before we say goodbye to Josh Folds. You've been an awesome guest. Thank you so much. Great friend. And thanks for all the things you did kind of for United Wrestling. Hopefully we'll see you back in the ring. Who knows, sometime in the future. But regardless, we hope you have a wonderful career and lots of success and opportunities in the TV world. But Josh Folds, thank you for being an awesome guest, and we'll see you soon, hopefully.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you.